space, the final frontier, a place where Mr. Bob King tells us what's going on. Hey there, Mr. Bob King. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I just can't do that voice. Maybe if I didn't have any coffee in the morning, maybe I could do the voice. But I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
No, that's a tough one. Many have tried.
Yeah, well, you know, not all of us have, you know, Bob King's made-for-radio voice. So you wasted all that time in newspapers. I don't know what you were thinking.
I was waiting for this very moment. That's what I was thinking.
Exactly. There you have it. So, first of all, we have a rogue Earth-mass planet drifting someplace, and then signs of life on Venus may have been found decades ago. We've got those tabloid headlines and more, but let's talk about the good stuff first.
Oh, yes. Today is a special day because the planet Mars, which, have you seen it, Lisa, in the evening sky, the big bright star in the east?
I saw a really big bright object in the east this morning.
Oh, that would be Venus.
I saw Venus this morning.
Yeah, Venus rules the morning.
Got it.
And it's been there for a while. Mars, of course, has been kind of sneaking up on us. It used to be in the morning sky, and it was just an ordinarily bright star. And then it's been gradually getting closer to the Earth, or actually the Earth has been getting closer to Mars, because you can recall the solar system, the planets orbit in sort of these concentric circles, and the Earth is closer to the sun, so it moves faster. And it has been gradually catching up with Mars over the past few months. And as it does, today it reached a special point. The two planets are at their closest today, the closest they've been in a couple of years, and the closest that they'll be until September of 2035. So Mars is as bright as it's going to get this week until September of 2035. So that's one of the reasons it really stands out at night. And it may not sound close, but the two planets today are just 38.6 million miles apart. So that's, you know, roughly a third of the distance that is from the sun.
You could do that on your lunch hour. I mean, if they wanted to get together and have coffee, they could do that on their lunch hour.
They easily could.
Easily.
So we have the closest approach today. And then the two planets, or I should say Mars, will be at opposition next week on the 13th of October. And that's when the Sun, Earth, and Mars are all precisely lined up. And Mars and Earth are on the same side of the Sun. So the term opposition means that from our perspective, we're kind of in the middle. Remember I mentioned it was the Sun in the center, then Earth, Mars. We're in the middle. And from our perspective on the Earth, the Sun and Mars are in opposite parts of the sky. So when the Sun sets, Mars will rise. And then the planet stays visible all night long. So you'll see it in the morning when you get up. And, that is the essence of what opposition means. And that happens on the 13th of October. But Mars will be just really bright all month, and actually all fall, so it'll be very prominent. It'll be our dominant evening planet, and very orange-pink in color. It'll be the dominant one as Jupiter and Saturn are gradually moving off to the southwest. They've been there all summer long and into the fall, too. So, yeah, we've got our two worlds are very close to each other, and Mars is fascinating. It's incredibly bright. Matter of fact, it now outshines Jupiter. And that's pretty good for a planet that's only about twice the size of the moon. But that's because, again, it's very close to the Earth. So it's big. Do you have a telescope?
No, I don't.
Well, you should have a telescope.
I have a couple of reasonably, for an amateur photographer, I have a couple of decent previously owned lenses, zoom lenses. So that's probably not a telescope.
Probably not enough. No,
but I have a friend who has one.
Very good.
Hint, hint.
The friend would love to share, you know, and that's the hard part about this. You can appreciate Mars just for its brilliance, its beauty at night when you go out. You know, it's just a wonderful presence out there the way Jupiter and Saturn have been. But to really get into Mars, I mean, this is the time to have a telescope to look at it, because it's such a small planet that the only times it's worth looking at in a telescope are when it's close to the Earth. And when you do look at it, you don't need anything huge. Something like a 6-inch telescope is absolutely perfect. And you would magnify. You do need a little magnification, so you have to magnify around 150 times. And when you do that, you'll see right on the very bottom of the planet, you'll see the remaining polar ice cap. That cap used to be much bigger back in the spring and summer. That's coated in dry ice. But it's summertime now in the southern hemisphere of Mars. And so most of the cap has vaporized away. It's just gone from ice to gas. And what we see now through a telescope, for those who are listening who have a scope, is the remaining core of that cap, which is made out of water ice, very familiar material. And then there's these interesting dark markings on the planet, you know, that have these curious shapes that are fun to look at. And in Mars, if you think about it, it is the only planet where we can normally see surface features. Every single other planet out there, when you look beyond the Earth, is covered in clouds, with the exception of Mercury. And Mercury is so small and far away, you can almost never see anything on it. So Mars is a real standout to be able to see the surface. So sometimes you can see clouds on Mars through your telescope. You can see the polar cap. And then if you're very lucky, you might be able to catch a dust storm in progress.
Ooh.
Because it's summertime. It's hot over there. It's 38 million miles. It's hot, relatively. It can reach temperatures of like 70 degrees.
Jump
not
back.
Bad. That was warmer than yesterday.
Wow. So why yeah. don't, you know, I think that it would be nice if you, during the show, I read temperatures from around the Northland. I think it would be nice if the National Weather Service would throw in a temperature on Mars. Once in a while, would it be that difficult? I don't think so.
There is a site, I don't have it at my fingertips now, but there is a site where you can go on and check the latest weather on Mars. I'm not saying it's 70 degrees everywhere. We're talking about more lower elevations, equatorial regions, that type of thing.
Well, Mars has got to have like a Duluth.
Oh, well, yes,
somewhere.
Lots of Duluth-like areas.
Well, there you go.
The average temperature on Mars is 60 below zero.
Oh, yeah.
So overall,
it's kind of like
very,
Tower.
Very
in other words, it's more like Tower.
Yes, it's like Tower.
Yeah.
When we went to 60 below. So it's
right.
Like our lowest low. That's the average temperature.
Okay.
But the temperature can climb up into the 70s at certain times of year in places. And it then drops back down at night to like 160 below.
Well, here's
a little
my...
more extreme than Duluth.
I'm just thinking that. I'm thinking that when I retire... I'm thinking that a telescope is now, I still am going to have to figure out how to put a fence around the darn thing so the animals don't knock it down, because the point of a telescope, in essence, would be to have it up so that you can look at stuff with it.
Oh,
you don't have to go and set
it
up.
I've left mine out at night, and I live in the country, so I've never had it knocked down.
Yeah, he's never met my animals, but that's really cute, Bob. I appreciate that. But at any rate, I think that will be a marvelous new thing to start doing. And so I'll be staying up all night and looking at the stars and calling you at all hours to say, Bob, what am I looking at? I bet you can hardly wait.
Oh, no, just ask me on the air.
No. Retirement, Bob. Retirement. I'm thinking when I can stay up late, you know, after it gets dark and actually look at stuff.
That's what I do.
Looking forward to it.
But, we do have one other quick thing to mention is the moon will be near Mars, not as close as it has been the last 2 months when we had some really beautiful conjunctions. But it'll be near Mars on the 25th and 26th this month. And the moon is now moving out of the sky. We're beyond the harvest moon. And so it rises later. So the Milky Way has once again returned to view. And that's always a nice thing. And it's still high up there if you go out. And matter of fact, it's really nice to look at really early in the evening. You can go out at 8 o'clock now and drive out to the country and get a great view of the Milky Way still. And, of course, Jupiter and Saturn are still there every night in the evening sky.
And it's Blue Moon Month. We have a full moon on Halloween.
Yes, we'll talk about the blue moon next time.
That's going to be fairly terrifying. So there is, as we're looking at the Milky Way, there is a rogue Earth mass planet drifting in it, according to astronomers. They say that the solar system is like a family, says the article in Universe Today. Then some planets leave home early, whether they want to or not. Once they've left the gravitational embrace of their family, they're pretty much destined to drift through interstellar space forever, unbound to any star.
Wow. It sounds like a beautiful sequel to some sci-fi movie that's been out. Yeah, there must be our rogue counterpart. The Earth that wants to escape and just live on its own, free of the sun.
Well, according to this, astronomers are getting better at finding these things.
Yes.
Then, according to another article, NASA found clues to life on Venus almost 40 years ago, but never realized it. A probe that was sent to Venus back in 1978, incidentally, the year I started in radio, returned readings that showed the presence of phosphine, which may be produced by biological processes.
Yes, I think we touched on that. Isn't that interesting? You can look at Mars in the evening, a planet that definitely has liquid water and certainly ice and the potential for life. And then you can get up in the morning and look at Venus, which may also have the potential for life. And again, the least likely place, because we always thought about Venus's surface, where it's 800 degrees and not conducive. But the clouds, the temperature up in the clouds is much cooler. It's like around 80, 90 degrees. And potentially something evolved on the surface and then found its way into the clouds as temperatures increased on Venus and now is producing phosphine, which is an organic compound with phosphorus in it that you don't normally see produced on a small planet like Venus. You do find it at Jupiter and Saturn, where it's produced under great pressure deep, deep beneath the cloud decks. But Venus just doesn't have those kind of pressures. So we don't know for sure, but I think it's exciting some astronomers to propose a new mission to Venus in order to snatch some of that gas away and bring it to Earth so we can study it more closely.
Yeah, I still hope that we get to go visit Marvin. I'm pretty fond of Marvin.
Marvin's
kind of a personal hero of mine. Bob, thanks a million for A, being such a good sport, B, knowing so much, C, sharing it with us every other week on Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Let's talk again in a couple of weeks.
Well, very good, and I will have a blog up today about Mars and about what to look for on Mars, whether you're looking with your naked eye or with a telescope. It'll be posted this morning.
Fantastic. And thanks. We'll get a link set up. Thanks a million, Bob.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Mr. Bob King, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on KUMD.